Now, infertility, it is a growing issue for Aussie couples. But when we do talk about infertility problems, we always tend to talk about, you know, biological clocks, freezing eggs, all that fun stuff. A lot of the discussion centres around women. So, you know, one of the things that probably should be spoken about as well is certainly how it affects men. Between 1973 and 2011, sperm concentration in Western men dropped 52% and total sperm count dropped by 59%. To talk to us a little bit more about this, Dr. Hannah Brown is the Chief Science Storyteller from the South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute, and she joins us on the line now. Morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Tess.
Could you run us through some of the statistics on male infertility, what it looks like today?
Yeah, look, infertility is actually quite common in Australia, despite the fact that it's one of these things that we don't often talk about. It's one of these things that's quite stigmatised. About one in six Australian couples will need to seek some kind of help to start a family. And for probably half of them, that will be as a result of male infertility. So when we think about the people that are turning up to an infertility clinic, about one third of the time, we think that we can find something that a cause of infertility that's female, that belongs to the woman. About one third of the time that we can find something that belongs to the man, and the last third, we actually just don't know who it belongs to, but it probably belongs half and half, despite the fact that we can't identify it. So, yeah, we've talked about female infertility for a really long time. But actually, male infertility is just as common as female infertility.
And the one statistic that really jumped out to me, between 1973 and 2011, sperm concentrations in Western men dropped 52%. Do we know what is causing this?
Yeah, well, there's two things to sort of take from that piece of information. And the first is, it seems like the data is real, but the data that we collected sort of historically was mostly from two sources. It was either from men that are infertile, so people that are rocking up to an IVF clinic that may already have some kind of underlying effects that may change the number of sperm that they have, and from very young men entering the military, where we don't actually know, you know, we have not often collected the number of sperm from a man across his lifetime to identify how that changes. So we don't have a super good baseline for what number of sperm a man will have in his lifetime, or what number he has in his ejaculate across his lifetime. But it does seem alarming that there is such a significant drop, despite any of these things, that we are seeing this massive effect across, you know, 40 or 50 years. But, you know, all of the research that's happening now suggests that there are lots of environmental and lifestyle factors that can change the number of sperm that you have, and more importantly, the quality of the sperm, or how good they are, how likely they are to result in fertilisation of an egg and then the creation of a baby. And it's that quality that's incredibly important. That's one of the major things they look for in an IVF clinic. When you would come in for an infertility screen to begin with, and then infertility treatment. And we know things like obesity and smoking and lots of external factors, modifiable external factors, change both the number of sperm you have and the quality.
And what are some of those factors?
Yeah, so smoking is probably one of the most alarming effects. We know that increases the risk of infertility by about 30%. So, which is incredibly, you know, which is a huge increase. And we know that both decreases the number of sperm that a man has in his ejaculate, and also the quality. So we know that lots of them appear damaged when a man smokes. But also things like alcohol consumption. Both obesity and diabetes can damage sperm and decrease the number that you have. And also stress and anxiety. So there's some modifiable things, but there's some very, very common things in there too, which we think are probably responsible for some of the decrease that we're seeing.
And just before I do let you go, Hannah, I suppose if anybody out there is suspecting that they might be suffering from fertility issues, where can they go? What can they do about it?
Oh, look, the first thing they can do is just see their doctor and recognise that they aren't alone. It's one of these things that, you know, people, it's sort of like a rite of passage to start a family, and it's one of these things that people don't often talk about. But if you haven't, if it's not you and it's one of your mates hasn't told you about it, it's probably one of them. And, you know, and it's really difficult, particularly on, you know, special occasions or when you've, you know, after you're married and you're in your 30s and people are constantly asking you, when are you going to start a family? And for some of those people, they're actually trying to start a family and not succeeding. So the best thing to do is just to go and see your GP and have them send you off for a fertility screen just to make sure everything's okay. But, you know, this is, if you're young, certainly trying, there's nothing wrong with trying for 12 months if you're a young person. If you are heading into your 30s, there's, you know, the right thing to do is to get checked out and make sure there isn't just something that's modifiable and something that you can do to reverse the status of your sperm number and quality.
Well, Hannah, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
That was Dr. Hannah Brown. She's the Chief Science Storyteller from South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute, having a chat with us this morning about increasing male infertility rates and some of the things that might be able to be done about them.